Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health briefs now. Emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Bohmer, joins us. Doc, good morning. Let's start with the FDA's approval of a treatment for early Alzheimer's disease. This sounds encouraging. What do you make of this?
Yeah, so this is great news. So this is the drug is called donanemab, and it's a monoclonal antibody. And we may have heard, probably heard about monoclonal antibodies and other drug and other types of diseases. I think one I think of most recently was in COVID. That was a common treatment toward the end of the pandemic, where they use these monoclonal antibodies to help treat COVID, and they've been used to treat a variety of diseases, cancer, autoimmune diseases. But this is a new one that really focuses on those plaques that are developed that we see in these Alzheimer's patients that are believed to be a big part of why they progress. And so the study that they got the FDA to approve the drug is basically showed over an 18-month period that these patients were showing a 35% reduction in their disease progression. So, there's probably a little bit more research to be done, but I think they've seen such a benefit, and the side effects, although they can be severe, are pretty rare. And so I think the benefits are outweighing the cost or the risk, rather, of what we're seeing with this medication. So they've went ahead and approved it. It's not the first drug, first monoclonal antibody that's been developed. I believe Biogen had a drug as well, but this one seems to be a little bit more promising in terms of the initial research they've seen on it. So very promising. And, it's like many diseases, especially cancers, the quicker we can detect it, the more effective it is. And so I think you're going to probably see even more of a push for early detection of Alzheimer's disease because of drugs like these. And hopefully there will be more to come on from this study.
When is this drug going to be available? Do we know?
I think I don't know the exact dates, but I think it's that approval means that it's probably going to be coming to market. I would bet within the year. I would assume, but I don't know that for sure.
Good news for many, for sure. Before the holiday, the FDA announced they will no longer allow the use of brominated vegetable oil in food products. I'm not sure I know what this is or in what products we found this. What do you know about this?
I read this and didn't know a lot about it either, although it turns out we probably, a lot of us over our lives have probably drank beverages that had it in there. So if you can think of any of the soft drinks that have a citrus flavor in the past, they have used these brominated vegetable oils to help sort of mix or keep the citrus flavor mixed within the soda well. It's a sort of a artificially compounded vegetable oil, if you will. And so they found that the BVOs, or these brominated vegetable oils, are actually probably neurotoxic, and actually they believe in animal studies that it's caused toxicity to the heart, kidney, and liver, but I think mostly toxic to the nervous system. And so they decided that we need to cut this off. And the good news is that most of the beverage producers, such as Pepsi, Coca-Cola, most of them have already pulled these off and already months ago because there's been a lot of consumer pressure because of these studies. And I think the FDA has caught up with it and said, yeah, we just need to make a universal decision to get these out of all of our food. So
I saw that they had an August 2nd date to pull these brominated vegetable oils out. But you say they're already gone, huh?
Yeah, I think the drinks that your sports drinks, so Gatorades and that are citrus flavor, Mountain Dew, Sunkist, those are beverages that had them probably in the past, but those companies have pulled them out already. And I don't know necessarily anticipation of this, but from the consumer pressure that was there because there's been studies that have been linking these BVOs to these diseases, to neurotoxicity and possibly heart, kidney, and liver toxicity. So they responded already. So it probably won't have a big impact, but at least you know that no matter what you're drinking, if you're into those citrus flavor soft drinks, you won't have to worry about the BVOs anymore. Probably another good reason, to maybe not drink soft drinks with any kind of regularity. Let it be a special treat for you. Maybe not that everyday thing.
Yeah, many reasons for avoiding those drinks for sure these days. Emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Boomer, with us. Let's talk a little bit about protein and how 95% of us, they say, deficient in one essential dietary food, and it's not protein. What is it, Doc?
Well, we need to get more fiber in us, Bob. You know, I tell my patients, the patients I'm usually telling this to are my patients that are either having issues with regularity, severe constipation, and when they come up in the emergency room with that, but as also are my patients with diverticulitis. We always think about fiber, you know, being important for our intestines and being regular, and we think about it with intestinal diseases, but actually it has a significant effect on our cardiovascular health. It probably can help prevent diabetes and certain cancers. And the reason why is that fiber actually is a food for our gut bacteria. And so when our gut bacteria get enough fiber in our diet, food from our diet, they can actually start producing these what are called short chain fatty acids, which are crucial to being able to help our body fight off inflammation. So it really kind of helps protect our intestinal linings, actually can even protect our other organs in our body. So it's really it should be really considered a superfood. And, you know, Americans, as you mentioned, are not getting enough of that in our diet. And I think there's a study out there that said if the average American just increased their fiber content by 5 grams, we'd actually see about a 14% improvement of our overall health or actually longevity of our lives. So I would say that it's something that we really need to start focusing on. It can help us lose weight. It helps create this. When you have enough fiber in your diet, you get the sense of early satiety, so you don't want to eat as much. So it's really a great food, and there's a lot of great foods that actually have a lot of fiber in them. So everyone kind of thinks about it being, you know, just fruits and vegetables, which is what I usually will tell my patients because it's the easiest thing to tell them, and they can identify those things. But, you know, it's quinoa, black beans, chia seeds, avocados, pumpernickel rye. So, you know, it's a lot of those foods are rich in fiber. And, you know, I think we really need to start trying to get that goal of 30 grams in our diet every day. It can really have a lot of benefits, not just for our intestinal health, but for our overall health, you know,
yeah,
preventing a lot of long-term diseases. Yeah,
I'm a little confused about this because I hear a lot about, and in my own house, I hear this from my wife: gluten, stay away from that, don't eat bread. But I guess you make a good point, though. We think of fiber in bread, but there are many other ways to get the fiber you need if you have issues with gluten, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And my favorite is really avocado. Avocados, people don't think about it being rich in fiber, but it is. So take an avocado and put some chia seeds on there, and I mean, it's fantastic. There's a lot of other options. There are supplements. You know, I don't really generally tell people that they need to take the supplements. There's some over the counter supplements like methylcellulose that can give you some fiber. I think people think that there's a lot of fiber in those supplements. It's probably only a couple of grams per tablespoon, but it's another way to get those if you're really having a hard time getting your diet to actually encompass those food sources. But it really can make a big difference in our overall health. And I think not just because of the fact that it can help prevent some of these intestinal issues that we're familiar with, but really it has a big systemic effect and can really help prevent other diseases. So it really should be thought of as a superfood, like I mentioned. It's pretty wonderful.
There's been some research in the news lately about olives, and you know, you hear a lot about olive oil being healthy, but eating olives might be a good thing for us. What did this study show?
Yeah, so this came out of Virginia Tech, I believe. It was this. They actually were able to extract this substance. It's a polyphenol called linoleic acid. So they believe that this is the substance that probably provides the most beneficial health benefits for patients or for people. And it looks like it kind of acts like these GLP-1 agonists that we've been hearing so much about, the Ozempics and the semaglutide, because what it does is they believe that this extract, this polyphenol, actually helps sort of promote better blood sugar control, can enhance our sensitivity to insulin. And actually, they looked at the study in mice, and they found that it actually reduced these obese mice reduced their obesity by about 10.7%. So it looks like it sort of acts like that drug. And so I think there's promise here that perhaps they can, if we can sort of harness this or create a mechanism where we can extract a lot of this, we may be able to find a way to accomplish the same thing that medication does in a much more natural way, in a much more, hopefully a much cheaper way.
Yeah.
It's certainly, gives olives a thumbs up in terms of their health benefits. I would say, probably don't go, eat 20, 30 olives at a time, but probably a good idea to consider olives as part of your diet. And I think whenever you have an opportunity to use olive oil, I think it's, I would certainly take that opportunity, whether it be on a salad or whether you're cooking vegetables. I think it's a great alternative to, certainly a better alternative than vegetable oil. So, hopefully more to come on that.
Finally, just a couple seconds left here, but tell me there is at least something to this health headline I saw the other day. I like stories like this, that ice cream may be good for you. I know that's a little misleading, isn't it?
So it checks a few boxes, right? So it does have protein. So it's about 6 grams of protein if you have like a 2/3 of a cup serving. It has about 12% of the daily recommended amount of calcium in it. So it has those. It can be considered somewhat healthy compared to, say, a cake or a cupcake or something with a lot of heavy carbohydrates, because it actually has the fat content, the protein content, so the sugar in it won't cause that big rise in sugar that you might see with other desserts. So it can be a little bit a better alternative than some other desserts. Again, moderation's a key. Yeah. Probably a good idea to make it a little healthier with some nuts or fruits on it instead of chocolate syrup.
See you at the DQ. Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, Northwestern Medicine. Thanks. Have a good week.
You too, Bob. Thanks.